115.
Thank the Lord for a good song service. Thank the Lord for His blessings upon us. And thank God for our young people. Amen. I tell you what a blessing they are. Pray the Lord will always bless our children. Pray God will continue to bless in a very great and mighty way. As I heard my youngin' coming in. Amen. Good to keep seeing folks come in the doors. If you would, I'd like to have you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. While you're turning there, we'd like to welcome our radio audience. This is Brother John Lybrook, pastor of the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church at Old Town. That's just a side of Greenham County, out of Carter County. You can get to us by taking Route 1 or Route 7. We have a sign on either end of Laurel Road giving you directions to the meeting house of God's people known as Emmanuel. And we're thankful that you've taken time today also to tune in to WGOH to hear a portion of God's Word. Today I want to bring a message that I pray would be beneficial to any and all who hear it. It is always our desire, of course, to see souls saved by the grace of God. But also those Christians that stand in need today of realizing that there is a great enemy out there. There's a great foe. And he's doing everything in his power to disrupt, destroy, hurt, maim, or just have people to lose interest, even in the house of God, the people of God, what the world would term as religion, what we call salvation. I'll tell you, the devil is a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. And folks, he has a great power about him. And I pray that the Lord will just bless this message today. I want to bring a message entitled simply, How to Defeat the Devil. In Luke chapter 11, verse 21, the Bible says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divide of his spoils. Now I want to stop right there for just a moment. I'm praying that God will do a work in this house today. It calls us to realize, number one, that there is a great enemy out here. And he's an enemy against all humanity. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are. It doesn't matter how healthy you are or how sick you are. Satan, the old devil, is an enemy of anyone who breathes the life that God has given them. And I want you to know today that there is a way to defeat this great foe of ours. The first thing that you need to understand is, listen, if you're not saved by the grace of God, there's a great difficulty that lies out before you. An insurmountable mountain, so to speak. When you're dealing with Satan, the devil, he has a great deal of power. And those of humanity that do not know the Lord and Savior and His power, they fall prey to this one we call the devil. Now this is just a simple message today. It's just going to be in simplicity brought forth because I need you to really understand that there is a real foe in front of you. There is a real enemy. You know, in this world in which we live today, you see preachers and churches that are not so concerned with the enemy as they ought to be. The reason why today that so many churches do so well is because they're not really affording the struggle to Satan as they ought to. And Satan doesn't care about a church that does not warn individuals of the evil that lies ahead of you. He don't care how often you go to church, how much you give to the church, the creeds you accept or take to. He does not concern himself with a church that is of no importance to him. And I want you to realize that the truth is going to be brought forth in this house today. There's a sworn enemy. An enemy of God's creation even. And he's doing everything in his power in these last days because he knows his days are short. He's doing everything in his power to disrupt, discourage, and destroy. So please, today, hear the Word of God. Take time to listen to what God's Word says. I'm only a preacher. I'm only a man of God who can bring forth what God's Word says. But I'll tell you, there's power in God's Word. The Apostle Paul was one of the greatest preachers outside the Lord Jesus Christ that ever walked upon the face of the earth. And what did he do? He warned people of the danger ahead. He warned individuals of the impending doom that was getting ready to befall anyone who died without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So yes, I find it to be very important today for your undivided attention. And to realize there's a way to defeat this one. It's not anything that we can do of ourselves. But it comes through the power and the might of Jesus Christ. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father. Dear God, today as we come before your throne, we do so with thankful hearts. We're thankful, dear God, that we've been delivered from the power of darkness, from the enemy of our lives and our souls. And dear God, because of what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, in paying our sin debt, we have peace with thee. Lord, I pray for every individual in this house today, whether they're saved or lost, dear God, today I pray that you awaken our minds. Help us to see with spiritual eyes today the danger that lies outside. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to the calling. Dear God, today I pray that your Holy Spirit has been moving up and down these aisles already, walking in and out of these pews and touching the hearts of every hearer of thy word. Lord, bless us today. May thy word find residence in the hearts of your people. May thy word quicken and awaken the lost around us. Save souls and save lives. And Father, forgive us our sin. In Jesus Christ's name, his sake that I pray. And amen. I ask the question today, how is the devil defeated? You know, there's one thing that these men that take care of the CDs and what have you, they will attest to the fact that, you know, in my titles, you know all the titles, if you've ever been, you know, when you were taught how to write in grammar and what have you, you know, in a title, all those words of a title are beginning capitalized. There's one name that I'll never capitalize, and that's the devil, Satan, or the old dragon. As a matter of fact, most times I write it as small as I can in my papers. I don't want to give him any credence. I don't want to give him any place to stand because I want you to know the power of darkness that lies around us is great. But I know today as we open up this word and as we look out into the world today, we see the things that have transpired in Afghanistan, the losing of 13 lives here. Just I'm talking about our servicemen, not to count the hundreds of lives that were maimed and killed because of religion. But I want you to know today there's something more in salvation than just pure religion. I'm talking about something that changes the lives of individuals and would change the life of anyone, regardless of how dark in sin they have become. It would change their lives completely if Jesus Christ was in it. So today, how do you defeat the devil? The first thing I want you to know is that you defeat the devil through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What happened at the tomb? You know, oftentimes, you know, you hear of the resurrection story, if you want to call it that. You hear of the resurrection only during the season of Easter. But folks, I want you to know, because of the resurrection, Satan was defeated. Death has no power anymore to those that are saved by the grace of God. Death has no hold on that individual any longer. In John chapter 20, go over here for just a moment and notice what it says here. We'll see this in three other places of the Gospels. I want you to look at this, what they say. Here, John's account reads this in chapter 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher. And she seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulcher, and he seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place of itself. Then when he also, the other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked inside the sepulcher. Can you not imagine the very scene that has been transpiring here? Here was this one who loved the Lord. The disciples had already came in, and they were bewildered at the fact that, listen, he was not there. This word was not revealed unto their minds yet. Their hearts had not received this amazing transformation from death to life. But yet as Mary stood there, the Bible says, and she seeth two angels in white sitting, and the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? I mean, can you not imagine this lady's thoughts? She was a person that was bewildered. She had lost the one that she loved so dearly. And she says, because they have taken him away, the way of the Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. I mean, her mind was still so fixed upon the fact that Jesus was not there in the grave any longer. She couldn't even begin to comprehend the fact that what she was looking at was the dear Savior himself. But notice what, just a few words, the power that's in these words. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where they have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. Listen, folks, I want you to know something. There's no greater word to ever be spoken than to have Jesus to call your name. Than to have Jesus to voice your name. What happened when that happened? She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Listen, I want you to know that's what I'm hoping happens in this house today. I'm hoping that as you're sitting here and you realize that there is a great force against you. There is a great enemy of your soul and your life. There's only one way to escape him. There's only one way to overcome him, and that's through Jesus Christ. As he calls out your name, just like he done Mary here, and she said, Rabboni, this is what I want to hear you say today. Master. Master. Go to Luke with me now. Back up just a little bit. We'll see what Luke had to say here. Actually, I wanted to look at Mark. I'm sorry about that. Go to Mark. My eyes had skipped down too far. Notice what it says here now. In Mark chapter 16. Now look at this. You want to see Satan defeated in your life? You want to see Satan defeated out of your soul? Listen, there are people today that are doing all kinds of things in hopes of having that inner peace within them. I mean, they're making all kinds of choices and doing all kinds of different things in order to try to feel the peace that he gives to those whom he calls on. Just like he called Mary, and she was so distraught. She was so upset at the fact that she did not see him in the grave. Little did she realize the one she was talking to was her master. The Bible says in Mark 16, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, have bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they come into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Can you? And again, I want you to see this vision here. I want you to see what they saw as they were walking down the path. They could probably see the sepulchre. Then they was wondering, who's going to roll the stone away? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering in the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted. Listen, it scared them. Just like it would any one of us, wouldn't it? Here you are, you're in a moment of trouble. You're in a moment of fixation upon the task that lies ahead, anointing the body of a precious friend and loved one who had died, and you had everything prepared, and all you had to do was, if you were able to take and begin to perfume the body. I can't imagine coming up to this scene, and as I think, you know, it's hard enough when you lose a loved one and you come by the coffin and then you pay your last respect and you go out. It's hard enough to see that. But to be the actual one who is getting ready to anoint that body with these herbs and all these sweet smelling odors and being that close. They were distraught. It was a great trouble upon their lives. Their hearts were broken. Folks, I want you to know something. Satan does that very thing to our lives every day, doesn't he? Satan does things that causes us to be brokenhearted. Satan does things that cause us to feel like we're at the end of a rope or that we cannot go any further. The Bible says in verse 6, and He saith unto them, Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Listen, as you're looking at this scene and as you're thinking about this one sepulcher that you know Jesus had been laid in, you saw your friends, you saw Joseph of Arimathea as they took the body and they laid it down there in that new hewn tomb. You knew it was there. You saw the evidences of what death done and what cruel men could do through the handiwork of Satan. But you know what? When Satan, I want you to think about what the old devil had to be thinking that morning. You know, as Jesus lay there, from the time of his death to the time of his resurrection, Satan, not being an all-knowing individual, probably thought within himself, I've done it, I've finally got him. Could you just imagine what his thoughts must have been when he came? Maybe he was already there. Satan was probably in the vicinity watching over this for a while. Maybe he was thinking, listen, I've got him. But then, no doubt when that big stone began to roll away, Satan looked and there was nobody in there anymore. He knew his defeat because of Jesus. And folks, that's just exactly what he can do for you today. He can remove the defeat in your life. He can alleviate the problem that's looking at you right in the eye right now. The problem of death. The problem of destruction. Matthew chapter 28 also talks about that very fact. That listen, as Jesus Christ, as he was resurrected the third day, he defeated Satan once and for all. You see, right now, Satan's still fighting, but you know what? He doesn't realize that he's already beaten, does he? Satan's already beaten, and one day, after all this time, he's seen it in God's Word, no doubt. He has known what God's Word says about the fact that one day he's going to be cast into the great abyss. Do you think he believes that? I don't know if he believes it or not. But I'll tell you this, it's going to happen. The Lord's going to defeat him once and all, once for all and completely. Why? Because he's able. He is that one who's able to lift up the fallen just like you today. You look at the scene around you. You look at the evidences of sin in your life. You know that the feeling of what God's Word tells us gives you a place of guilt. You know it's there. You know that's a reason why that right now you're not happy in your soul. It's because you feel the guilt of sin inside of you. You feel what God's Word says about you. And you know the condemnation. You see, there's not ever going to be an innocent person cast into hell. Listen, oftentimes, you know, you hear people speak like that and it almost makes you think that there's going to be innocent people in hell. No, there's not. There's never going to be any innocent people in hell. They're all going to know according to God's Word. Even you look at the creation above, you know there's a God in heaven. You know that there's a God in heaven. He's the one you need to bow to, amen. He's the one you must come to. But notice the victory. You see, as we've been looking thus far, we have noticed that Jesus Christ actually died on the cross of Calvary. He died and literally gave up the ghost. He said, Telestai, it is finished. It is finished. You know what he finished? He accomplished everything his Father asked him to do, to pay our sin debt. And he said, as he gave up the ghost, he said, it is finished. And then he was buried, and on the third day, God resurrected him from the dead. You know why he resurrected him? Because he was satisfied with his son's sacrifice. He received it. And that's what you must do today. Listen, in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, notice the victory that is given here. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Look at verse 54 with me, please. The Bible says here, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You know why? You know why we have that kind of victory? Because of what Jesus done on Calvary. And how that he rose again the third day. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing that you have to realize, in order to defeat the devil, you have to realize and rely upon the power of Christ's resurrection. Now secondly, I want you to know another way to defeat Satan is just like Jesus Christ always done. Amen? Through the Word. That's how he defeated Satan. What happened after Jesus' baptism and after that he had been fasting? What happened? The devil came to him. The devil came to him and began to try to tempt him. And what did Jesus say? It is written. Amen. You know what he was talking about? He was talking about this book right here. It is written. Folks, I want you to know something. That today is where we find success, through the written word of God. What does Hebrews 4:12 say? Listen, I'll tell you how powerful God's word is. Notice what it says here. You know, oftentimes you see things and you hear different things of how people come up and they try to exercise some kind of a belief on taking out a demon or what have you. I want you to know what God's Word says here. Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12, the Bible says, for the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. My goodness, I'm telling you what, this is a powerful word, isn't it? This is God's word. This is God's word, how it can get into your psyche, how it can get completely underneath your skin. How it can touch your heart even. That's the power that's in God's Word. We look at those little scriptures such as John 3:16 and we think of them as just a little nursery rhyme we teach our children in Sunday school. But listen, there's power in these words. There's power in, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's power in those words. There's life-changing power. There's power to change your mind. Power to change your being. Power to bring you to the light from darkness. That's the power of God's Word. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 with me, please. Just right on over just a little bit. 1 Peter in chapter 1. Look at what it says in verse 23. Speaking about those that are saved by the grace of God. Maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord's your Savior, but you feel the power of God's awesome personality in His Word. You know that God says that you're guilty of sin and you need to have forgiveness and you need to repent and come to Him. Verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. You see, that's the reason why today that the only thing that I bring to you is God's Word. I don't have any self-help books. I've not written any major articles that would promote how man can lift himself up somehow. No, this is the only thing that I have for you today because it's the power of God unto salvation. That's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:16 concerning the gospel message, that it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? Believeth. You see, there's the key that takes away Satan's grip in your life. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to being rid of Satan's grasp upon your soul. What does Ephesians tell us about who we are before salvation? Notice this. Now, I want you to know exactly what God's Word says here. In Ephesians, Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath He quickened. That word quickened means to be made alive. You know what being made alive to yourself means? It means you see your guilt. You see yourself as God sees you. For once and for the first time in your life, you actually feel the guilt of sin in your lives. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, that's who we are before salvation. Whether you like it or not, you're children of disobedience. You're children of the devil himself, so to speak. You're following after what he wants in your life. What's he telling you right now? Oh, you've got plenty of time. Is that what he's telling you? Is he telling you today that listen, you're all right, you're a pretty good person. Is that what he's telling you today? That's what the devil wants you to believe. The devil wants you to understand that yes, a salvation is something good, but you don't have to fool with that right now. You know, in this last week, we've heard of young individuals going out into eternity. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it? People that no doubt were at a place and point in their life. Now, I can't say precisely, of course, because I don't know the heart of anybody. I don't know the intellect of individuals. But when you think you come into an age of 13, 14, 15 years old, you're at a point where you know right from wrong, right? Unless there's something else going on in your mind. But listen, there is a need then that you need to come to Jesus. There's a reason why today that you need to know that there's ability to defeat Satan, and it comes through Jesus' words, the gospel. What is the gospel? Simply this, according to 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, it's a death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the gospel. Plus nothing and minus nothing. Do you believe that today? See, that's what gives you power. Believing with the mind and the heart, listen, that's what empowers you to come to Jesus, to have power over Satan. The blood. It's the blood. Where are you standing today? Again, the Apostle Paul stated it very well. that, listen, we were children of wrath. Before being saved by the grace of God, you're a child of wrath. You know, if you was to die in that position, if you were to die in that state of mind and body, you would absolutely feel the wrath of what sin can leave with you. You can feel the wrath of what it is to be in hell, where the Bible says there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know what that gnashing of teeth is? It is the actual cleaving to the tongue with your own teeth. Violence upon violence. In hell, one of the greatest damnations of hell is being in a place vacant of God, vacant of His power and to rescue you. Listen, He will not rescue you if you're in hell. His justness says He can't, and He shall not. Therefore, listen, the place called hell is reserved for those who reject Jesus Christ and die in that position. So if you find your place in hell, Satan has already defeated you. There is no redos on the game. Listen, it's over. Satan has already took care of you. He's banished you from the hope of eternal security ever again. He's banished you from the hope of salvation, from the hope of a new life, from the hope of being with God in heaven. He's banished you forever and for all eternity. There's only one way to defeat him, and that's through the Holy Word of God. Now lastly, how do we defeat the devil? We do it through the power of Christ's salvation. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, the Bible says of those that are saved by the grace of God, they're new creatures. It says that you're a new individual. That inside of you has been changed. And one day soon, this outside, a body that we walk around in, listen, one day it's going to be changed. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, when the Bible says He's going to bring those souls that have gone on from heaven, listen, He's going to bring them back with Him, and that body's going to be changed, and it's going to be reunited with that soul that's in heaven already. And they'll be both together with the Lord forever and ever. Why? Because Satan was defeated. Satan was defeated. Think about this now. Salvation changes people, doesn't it? Salvation makes an erratic change in an individual. In 2 Corinthians 7 again, what does the Bible say in verse 1 here? 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How do you do that? You can't do it outside of salvation. You got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen to me. It's important today. It's important to know that you can defeat the devil. You can defeat him today. Not you necessarily, but Jesus Christ through you. Being saved by the grace of God, Satan is defeated immediately. Again, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen, I want you to know that upon your death, upon the death of a saint of God who's gone on, listen, upon that death, their soul is ushered right into the very presence of the Almighty. Why? Because Satan lost his grip. Satan's grip was masked by the power of the Almighty. He has no hold over those that are saved by the grace of God. He has no control over them. Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. Notice what it says here now. Look at verses 2 and 3. Bible says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Listen, I want you to know something today. I don't know where people stand and how they stand if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You're looking at this world situation right now. Looking at this pandemic, looking at the murder house skyrocketing all over the world, not just our nation, but everywhere. It's dangerous out there. Religion is in the name of religion, people are dying left and right today. Christians are being beheaded. You know what? It's a scary place out there. This whole world is a black and dark hole. And listen, Satan is running to and fro across this world, all over this world, seeking whom he may devour. Will it be you today? Will you be that individual that he will devour? Listen, there's salvation. There's salvation. Romans chapter 10, please, and I'm going to come to a close. Romans chapter 10. Looking at verse 9. How to defeat Satan. Listen, if you're here in this house today and you're not saved, listen to me. You that are saved need to be praying. You need to be praying for your loved ones and praying that God will bring deliverance to their souls. But notice what it says here. I'm going to read more than just verse 10. I've got about 4 or 5 minutes left. Listen to this. I'm going to begin at verse 8. But what saith it? Listen to me. What have I said today? Think about it. Think about what God's Word has said today. Think about how this Word can change your whole life. But what saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Word of life which we preach. The word of faith, that if thou shalt confess to thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, there's no maybes there. There's no ifs. It just says simply, listen, if you believe in what Jesus Christ done for you on the cross of Calvary, how that God resurrected him the third day, you believe that His blood atones for all your sin. You believe that Jesus came and died for you on the cross of Calvary. He says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Listen to this now. You want to know how to defeat Satan? Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Listen, it's a good thing that I'm bringing to your ears today. The way to defeat Satan is through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. There's no other way. Matter of fact, Acts 4:12 says there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Verse 16 is sad. But they have not all obeyed. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Preachers today are still saying that same thing. I come to the end of this message and I'm asking God, who's going to believe today? Who's going to believe this report? I can say that, and I'm telling you, chills run all over me from my neck all the way to my toes. Who's going to believe the report and be saved? Or who's going to walk out of here still defeated? Still with the power of Satan and the devil over your life? Isn't it time today to find relief? The word has been brought forth. The way has been spoken. You can have the relief and defeat Satan and the devil in your life right now. But just what Romans chapter 10 just said, believe and thou shalt be saved. Would you not today believe? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now my friend, I ain't the best preacher in the world, I know that. I don't speak with great swelling words. But this one thing I know, what I've give you today will change your life. What I've given you today will defeat Satan. And you'll leave this place today a different person if you believe what I've said. Would you not today believe? Would you not today trust Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Defeat Satan. The very moment that you fall upon the name of the Lord, listen, you've defeated Satan. And he'll never have a hold on you again. Does that mean you're perfect? No, it doesn't mean you're perfect. Does that mean you're without sin? No, you'll never be without sin. Not on this side of eternity, but there's coming a day. There's coming a day, my friend, when these old bodies are going to be eradicated from sin. The very moment your soul is saved, listen, it's prepared for heaven. It could go right then. But these old bodies are going to have to wait for the change. I ask you today, are you ready? If death should come to you right now, are you ready? Think about it. Are you living a defeated life? Or do you want to defeat the devil? Trust Jesus. Let's all stand, please. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, dear God, as we humbly come before your throne, Father, we come with thankful hearts. Thankful, dear God, for being delivered from Satan's grasp and hold in our lives. Thank you, dear God, for relieving us of Satan's grip upon our souls. Lord, I pray for this congregation here and wherever they're at in the world today. And Father, that you may relieve them the grip that Satan has in their lives. And Lord, help them through thy word to realize Satan's defeat in their own life. Save souls and save lives. And Father, forgive us our sin. In Jesus Christ's name. And amen. Have our song leader and our pianist to come.